Would you please remove those? Thank you. Roland, do you want to start us off?
Good morning, friends. Just a quick reminder about Saturday. So those who signed up already to help out with the football game, like I said, it's early, so we have to be in Fayetteville at 6 in the morning. The address where we meet is 1101 Beechwood Avenue, so you'll have to find a way to get there. School provides a gas card of $5, a Walmart card for those who are driving, and a $5 gift card for those who are going. And additionally, you get 10 hours of work hours. Like I said, multiply that by your hourly rate, and obviously you're making some money there and catching up with your work hours too. The dress code is white shirt or t-shirt, black pants, black shoes, black socks. So what else? Game begins at 11, and you'll be out by like 2, probably back on campus by 3. So yeah, I think that's it. I actually have the sign-up sheets for those who are going for the first time, those who have been before. You know how it goes, but those who have not, filled in the sign-up sheet, just get with me, or those who are interested in going, let me know so I can I'll tell you more about it. Thank you.
And it's Hogs versus New Mexico State. Should be a game. Okay, Hoover.
Thank you, ma'am. This Sunday, of course, we have this concert, free pizza here, 6 o'clock. Kind of a student appreciation thing. We've got several churches coming from all over. They're moving their services here. It'll be right here in this hall. We're thinking about doing some things to kind of up the attendance. We've got the Pope showing up. We're going to give away about $6 million in a free car. So make sure we see you Sunday night. Thank you.
Sounds doable. All right. So a couple other things. One, Katie is still needing ambassadors for the student campus visit day. And so really what an ambassador does is just walk around, answer questions. They have a tour. They're friendly. They're the face of Ecclesia. And there's many, many of you that I know that would be awesome at it. So please consider that. We really need the help. The other thing is that there is a book study coming up. And I wanted to give you guys the opportunity to think it through a little bit. But basically, one of the people who came and spoke to us last spring, his name is Dr. Cleveland. And he spoke on free market enterprise and the free market system. He has a book that's 102 pages long. When I taught fifth graders, I called that a pinky book, because they would go down and they'd put it up against the spine and say, yep, I can get that one because it's that thin. So it's a pinky book, 101 pages, 102 pages, I think. Anyway, we as a college got a grant from the Charles Koch Foundation, who wants to promote free enterprise. And because of that, they have offered $100, I want to say gift card. I'm trying to talk them into cash. But one or the other, per person who participates in this book study. What you need to do is read the 100 pages prior to Friday, October 27th. You come in that night, eat food. We'll have a catered something. And eat food, discuss the book, come in the next morning, eat breakfast, discuss the book, and then that's it. Okay? And so for that, that's $100. So anyway, I want to stick that out there for anybody that wants to make an easy $100 by reading a...
Is that students only?
No, I don't know about that. Okay? What I know is that we're going to start with students. We're going to go to concurrent students from prep, because we have several students that do both prep and college. Okay? All right, and that's it. So Drew, go for it.
All right, I've only known this man for about a month, but I can tell there's a good chance he turns out to be the greatest man to ever come through Ecclesia. They brought me up here today to introduce the one, the only, Colin Craigle. Come on up, Coach Craigle. Come on up.
You want to pray? You want to pray for us?
Hello.
I'll pray him in real quick. Lord, I just want to thank you so much for Coach Craigle. Thank you for bringing him to Ecclesia, Lord. And I just want to pray for him today as he speaks, Lord. And I want to pray for us that we have open ears and open heart to listen to what he has to say, Lord. And thank you for all you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Drew.
Move this back. I don't know how frowned upon this is. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Okay, so I'm going to introduce myself really quickly. I'm Coach Craigle. You guys might see me in the calf. I've kind of switched my hours over to maintenance, so you'll see me in maintenance a lot more often. From Houston, Texas. I moved to Dallas. I went to Dallas Baptist University for 2 years. Then I went to Central Baptist in Conway. Kind of found out about this opportunity, and so here I am. So I really want to kick this off by starting by saying two things I wish somebody would have told me when I got to college. And those two things are, is learn to manage your time. The number one thing in college is this is not harder than high school. My high school is much harder than my college ever was. It's not what this is about. It's about you finally moving out of your home, spreading your wings, not being in the nest anymore, right? And learning how to manage your time. Some of you are doing it poorly right now, between work and school and sports, and it shows in your life. So you've got to learn how to manage your time. So you can get a planner, you can get things like that. I know that sounds really geeky, but it works. A whiteboard in your room, it works with a list of short-term, long-term things you need to get done. Homework all the way to what you'd like to accomplish this year in school. And the second thing is work with all your heart. Everything you do. Whether it be work learning, I know this is tough, it's work learning college, but work with all your heart. Whether it be, you know, Robbie, if I ask you to pick up leaves, pick up as many leaves as you see, man. You know? If you're cooking ground beef, there's credit to that, right? You're cooking for the Lord's people. And I know it sounds weird and it's tough, and but what you're doing is you really are working for the kingdom of God in everything that you do here. So work with all your heart. So the last thing that I want to say, this is just the lessons, and then I'll kind of go into myself a little bit, is if you look around at Ecclesia, there's staff and people here, there's hundreds of years of experience and life lessons, failures, successes, all those things. If you guys have trouble, if you guys want to learn, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. There's hundreds of years of experience in this room right here from people who have failed hundreds of times. People have found success. Ask. How did they manage their time? How did you do it your freshman year? I have 18 hours, work learning job. I'm trying to hang out with my friends. It seems like I don't have any time. How did you do it? There's people in this room right now who can answer that question for you. They can tell you how not to do it, how they did it their freshman year and flunked out, then had to go to community college, then had to go back to college. And then there's people who are like, man, I was on it because my mom and dad helped me, right? So don't be afraid to reach out to the people that are here. So a little bit about me. I'm gonna start really fast. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up Methodist. We kind of went to church a lot. We were plugged in, and then we just kind of stopped. It all kind of stopped. In high school, my parents' marriage started getting really rough. Apparently, in a backstory, their marriage was already rough a year after I was born. So they kind of go through this time, and we're not going to church anymore, and I didn't really know why. It didn't bother me. I stopped going to church as well. It seemed like all my friends stopped going to church, and it also seemed like all the friends around me, all our parents were divorced, all of them. My parents were like the last ones that were still together. So I get back from my freshman year of college, and I was just pumped. I was so happy. I was in a great place in my life, and so I get back in my freshman year, and there's a U-Haul in my driveway for my fall break, and my dad was like, hey, we're going to help your mom move to San Antonio. I'll just tell you on the way. So packed up half the house, moved to San Antonio, and there you go. That's kind of how I learned about my parents' divorce. So it took me a while to really realize that hurt me deep inside. And their struggle and me seeing their struggle my entire life has hurt me through relationships with women. and just relationships in general. So I'm really good with friends, really bad with women. So I have good friendships with women, but anything past that is really tough for me because I don't really trust, right? And I know there's people in this room that don't trust. You've been broken. And so at the end of the day, it was something that I had to find in my soul in a lot of alone time and ask myself, why? Why is it that I can't commit? I know that sounds corny. It's like, oh, guys always have problems committing, right? Girls are always like, guys have problems. Well, if you want to get really into it, girls mature faster than men do, period. Yeah. Over and out. In body, and I'm telling you right now, in body and mind, you guys mature faster than we do, period, over and out. That is scientifically proven, okay? So it takes time. It takes time for a man to understand that. Now, depending on there's a nature-nurture thing, too. We're born to procreate. No doubt about it. That's also scientific. Okay, so a man will always struggle, depending on his testosterone level, he will always struggle with lust. Okay, so that's what I'm coming to you guys today. That's a problem that I had in my life. I still have in my life. I'll always struggle with in my life. Does that make sense? So just because you're Christian, just because you give your life to God, doesn't mean it all goes away. That's not what he came to do. What he told you is that he gave you the power within you to help you through your struggle, and that nothing is too great for him to overcome through you, okay? So our brother Paul talks, for I know the good itself. This is Paul, okay? We're talking about a guy who murdered Christians. On the road to Damascus, he was blinded, right? Jesus came into his world, wrecked his life, and he ended up being the number one writer in the New Testament, right? With a ton of books. And ended up saving people in jail, on the road. I mean, all of his travels, you can see it. There's actually a map in the dome of all Paul's travels. It's absolutely ridiculous how much this man traveled and talked about the kingdom of God. Okay, so now we're talking about this brother Paul. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do is what I want to do, and this I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Does that make sense? So we have a sinful nature, period, over and out, right? So has God given you guys the strength to overcome? Absolutely. He's given you the tools and the strength to overcome. So my dad told me something that changed my life forever on how I view death and God's kingdom in general. His dad died in a motorcycle accident. He got run over, actually, on the highway by a drunk and high 18-wheeler. His dad did. When he was just, it was his freshman year in college. He was the oldest of four boys. So it came into this life, and it absolutely wrecked this world. He told me something that day when we talked about it. He said, here's the deal, Colin, is that people view death as something that's bad. Really, it's a rejoicing. People are getting to leave this world, right, and going up to be with their Father in heaven, right? So that's number one. Number two is that at his funeral, 12 people were saved. 12 people came to Christ at his funeral. So you don't think that he would give 12 for one? That's what the kingdom of God works like. That's what it is, right? So he took away his father's death and pain and dying and said, man, 12 people were saved at my death. That's how he coped with it. That's incredible. 12 for one? Would you take that deal at Walmart? Yeah, 12 for one? Heck yeah, come on.
Can't find the meat at Walmart, though.
No, you can't find it. You're right. You're right. Maybe at Lowe's, right?
At Lowe's.
Maybe at Lowe's. Maybe at Lowe's.
As long as you don't wreck the sprinkler.
Right. So here's what I'm saying, guys, is begin to take your life and your lessons and begin to take that pain. Right? It's something that I really struggled with. Take that pain that you've learned, right? And start to view it as, man, maybe this is something that God put in my life so I can help someone else. And even if it helps one person, you've made a difference. You've made a difference. If your story and your personal story saves one person in this world, you've made a difference. Does that make sense? So stop thinking about it as pain and begin to think about it as lessons learned. Right? So I know these things are in the past, and it hurts, and you have to have some time to let it dwell in your soul. You must. You can't go on from relationship to relationship. You got to be single. Right? Right? It's hard. It's hard to continue to love someone else, right? If you don't even know who you are, right? You're lost in whatever. Brother Hoover, tell me, marriage is about what? Is it about you? Absolutely not. Is it ever about you, coach? Ever. At any point in your marriage, is it about you? Never. Never. It's always about someone else. So how, in your young age, in your growing age, from 0 to 25, are you going to learn about yourself and what you need if you're always with someone else? Now, I'm not telling you to be single, right? Well, maybe I am. Our brother Paul would argue that. Our brother Paul literally says, if you're single, stay single. Trust me, you don't want what comes with marriage. You don't want it. That's what Paul said. He said, if you're so overcome by your lustful desires, then go ahead and get married. That's what Paul says. Really? Yeah. Right? Right? But it is better to do it single, because if you're married, you have a different focus. It's now about them. It's about the kids, right? It's about everything else that's going on. So here's another thing. Is right now, guys, I'm telling you, other than high school, this is the easiest time in your life. Add work learning in too. Whatever. 2 hours a day, whatever. This is the easiest time of your life. Coach, from here on out, does it get harder? Does it ever get easier from here on out?
No.
If you could go back to college right now, Miss Liz, if you could go back to college right now, knowing what you know now, would you go back? I'm in college, she says. I'm telling you, every single person who's left college would absolutely go back to college. It only gets harder from here. You've got to learn to manage your time. You have to. You've got to learn to manage your priorities as well. I'm telling you, schoolwork is absolutely more important than going out with your friends. It is. But you do need some friend time too, right? So I know you guys are wondering, because I finished the verse, right? It's sin that lives in me that does it. Well, Paul finishes that verse by saying, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right here with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's sin, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. And therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because through Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives you life has set you free from the law of sin and death. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? Right? So what this verse tells me, and I read this over and over again in my pain and my struggle, is that no matter what I've done, no matter what I'm doing now, and no matter what I will do, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. I struggled with that for a long time. I thought, I've done too much wrong. I've hurt too many people. There's no possible way that I'll actually be in the kingdom of heaven. There's no way. I won't do it. Right? Then I thought on an extreme. I was like, man, there's people who murder. There's people who murder, take life, which is one of the strongest things, right, in our little law that we have, right? But there's people who take life, give their life to Christ, and it's nothing. There's people who have done much worse and been saved for much more and gone on to... We're talking about... This is the guy that I just read from, murdered Christians, God's people, and ended up being one of the strongest Christians of all time, arguably. Are you hearing that?
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So is me lusting on a girl, is that like murdering Christians? Would you equate those? Now we can get into that argument, right? About that sin is sin. Do you hear what I'm saying here? Right? So it's the love of God. You've got to accept it, though. It's here. He always loves you. Always. All you've got to do is confess with your tongue. That's all you got to do. And accept him into your heart and make him Lord of your life. And I'm telling you, it's awesome. It's really awesome. It happened to me last year. It's incredible. So therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. If there's anything that you can take away from today, it's that nothing can hinder you from the love of Christ. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing you've done, nothing you're doing, and nothing you will do that will separate you from Christ's love. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is what I want to say today. This is the lesson that I've learned. I really struggled with that pain. I struggled with the pain of my past. And so if there's anyone in this room that struggles with that, I want you to let it go. Let it go. I know that sounds corny because of Frozen, but you're gripping onto that pain because you think that you've hurt someone or you'll continue to hurt people, and you've got to let that go. Let the love of Christ come into your life and wreck your world and begin to put your focus on other people when you have come to grips with yourself and focus on other people. That's the last lesson I'd learned. A lot of the times you look around and the people who are pouting, the people who are in their rooms and they just want to spend time together are the same people, right, that don't focus on others. This life is about focusing on another. The only time Jesus ever focused on himself, ever, was when he had a time in prayer. That's it. He was constantly surrounded by people, constantly looking for ways to help other people. What do you think we should do in our lives? Right? Shouldn't our life look like Jesus? Right? So when someone is in the, and I'm putting this in real life example. I mean, I'm serious when I say this. Would Jesus, in your life, you've got to ask yourself, would Jesus do that? Right? You see someone pulled over on the road, I'm telling you, it's big time. Like one time I thought this guy was waving me down, I passed him and I went, oh, no. I was like, it kind of looks sketchy, you know? I was like, So I turned around, pulled up to him, I was like, hey man, did you need any help? And he goes, oh no, I was waving at the guy behind you over there. I went, he went, no, I was waving at my buddy, we're working right here. I went, okay, you were just testing me, you know, because I was already running late. When I say late, I was going to be early, but I was going to be right on time, and I don't like that. So I was going to be late, and I was like, man, should I turn around? I thought, you know what, Coach Hardy, not going to care at all. Won't care at all. Tell him I was helping somebody, he will literally say, absolutely, you could have stayed there till lunch, right? So again, display the love of Christ in everything that you do, but you have to take the Lord into your life first. You've got to confess that he's Lord and he's King of your life first, and then to begin to display that love to other people. I'd like to close this out in prayer. Will you guys pray with me? Dear God, thank you so much for the people here. Thank you for putting me here. Thank you for everything that you've put in my life, Lord. There's so many people in this room that have already influenced me and my life and the lessons that I've learned. Please give us the power, give us your love, give us your strength, Lord, to go throughout the day and show that to other people, God. Give us your passion, give us your work, give us your ethic. Give us everything that you have, Lord, and help us culminate all of that so that we can show other people what your love looks like, God, because that's why we're here, Lord, to build your kingdom. It's all about you. It's never about us, God. Thank you so much for what you've given us. Amen. Thank you, guys.